Hello and welcome to your Newsmax Daily for Thursday, March 21st, 2024. It's the 12th Thursday of the year, and today is World Down Syndrome Day. Very important day, established in 2011 by the UN General Assembly to bring attention to the genetic disorder, number one, and provide people with Down syndrome the ability and freedom to make decisions about their own lives. It's observed annually on this day, March 21st. On the food calendar, it's hashtag National Crunchy Taco Day. Thursday, as you know, is usually Burrito Day, right? But today, I imagine many restaurants will be offering some kind of crunchy taco deal as well. They're not as easy and convenient to eat as the soft taco, but ideally the best taco. Taco history says, by the way, that the first Taco Bell opened in 1962 in Downey, California. And I talked about this the other day, if you weren't here that day, but 3 days after St. Patrick's Day, I was finally able to get my hands and my lips on the coveted Shamrock Shake. Even the guy at McDonald's couldn't tell me why they always run out of shakes, or the shake machine is always down, or how much longer they'll be offering the Shamrock Shake. News out of the White House this Thursday is that President Biden also had a Shamrock Shake. No, he is announcing another round of student loan relief to the tune of $5.8 billion. This time, they say it is specifically for Americans in public work, like teachers, nurses, and firefighters. The catch is that those people have had to be making 10 years worth of continuous payments on their loans to qualify for the debt relief. Meanwhile, the president spent the night in Dallas, Texas. No word if we went to Brahms for an ice cream cone yet. He does have a campaign event in Houston today before heading back to Washington, where the business dealings of him and his son, Hunter Biden, have taken center stage again. For this, we go to my man, Carl Higbee.
Well, that was, dare I say, a political bloodbath today for Joe Biden. Tony Bobulinski and Jason Galanis, Hunter Biden's former business partners, appeared in front of Congress today, and it confirmed basically what we've all been reporting on for the last 4 years. If there was any question about Joe Biden being involved in Hunter Biden's business dealings under penalty of perjury, it was made real clear today.
Mr. Bobulinski, who's the big guy? Are you sure about that? Because when...
Joe Biden?
You're sure?
I'm 1,000% sure.
Well, that was just the beginning. This was a cascading floodgate of bad news for the Biden administration that not even KJP is going to be able to try to spin later. That Tony Bobulinski, he called these people out right out of the gate.
We keep hearing from certain corners that our democracy is at risk and democracy is on the ballot in 24. Yet the same people preaching this mantra know better. They continue to lie directly to the American people without hesitation and remorse. Rep. Dan Goldman and Jamie Raskin, both lawyers, and Mr. Goldman, a former prosecutor with the SDNY from New York, will continue to lie today in this hearing and then go straight to the media to tell more lies.
That is the voice of Tony Bobulinski, Hunter Biden's former business partner, who has testified several times before and is the person that brought the big guy to light. Moving ahead to James Comer, chairman of the Oversight Committee.
The scam is simple. Biden family promises they can make a foreign partner's problems go away by engaging the U.S. government. But this hearing is not about Hunter Biden. This investigation is not about Hunter Biden. It's about Joe Biden and the lies he continues to tell the American people.
This is not a hard concept. And Democrats tried to refute this in their 5-minute intervals with a bunch of political circle speak and focus group tested talking points. But if Joe Biden was not the brand, if in fact they did, the Biden family did produce some sort of product other than influence, what was it? Should be easy enough to show. Look, in exchange for my paycheck, I do this show every night. In exchange for your paycheck, you build a widget, you build a house, or remodel a kitchen, you do something of tangible value. If you're a lawyer like Hunter Biden is, yeah, you presumably argue a case, you execute contracts. He must have done something like that, right? In front of, for all these millions of dollars? No. In all of my research, I can't find a single case that Hunter Biden has ever litigated in court. So what's their product? Seemingly more and more from today, it was Joe Biden.
We have testimony from multiple witnesses that Joe Biden was the brand. He knew what his son and brother were doing and did nothing to stop it. That alone makes him complicit in a scheme to make money off of his public service. Because for years, the Biden family has personally benefited from Joe Biden's position of power. Joe Biden knew this, he did nothing to stop it, and he lied about it.
Everybody knew this, and even more people have been lying to cover it up.
Thank you, Carl Higbee. And Newsmax congressional correspondent Kilmeny Dukart was there on Capitol Hill.
There's been no shortage of fireworks during today's hearings. A number of interruptions from Democrats, including the ranking Democrat, Jamie Raskin, at the top, interrupting the opening statement from Tony Bobulinski. And then a short time ago, also an on-the-record vote to subpoena Tony Bobulinski for his cell phone data. Joining me now is Congressman Byron Donalds from Florida. Congressman, good to be with you. Talk to me a little bit about the theatrics happening in the room behind us.
Well, look, the Democrats cannot defend Joe Biden, so they're down to calling for parliamentary inquiries where none exists. They're interrupting witnesses. They're calling for votes to subpoena Tony Bobulinski's phone. But look, the facts of the matter are this. Tony Bobulinski and Mr. Galanis are in the committee room right now stipulating that, yes, Joe Biden knew exactly what was going on. Yes, Joe Biden was the big guy. Mr. Bobulinski has testified that, yes, he met with Joe Biden for 45 minutes to an hour in Los Angeles, I think specifically the Beverly Hills Hotel, if I recall correctly, back in 2017. And this is, and that they also have testified that Jim Biden and Hunter Biden perjured themselves in their testimony during their depositions with the Oversight Committee.
This is witness testimony. So a lot of this evidence is situational. It's circumstantial. What does the Oversight Committee need right now to complete its investigation? To fill in these holes? We know that you guys have subpoenaed for these bank records as part of that.
Well, I would say sit tight and let the rest of the hearing unfold. There's more that's going to come out. But what I will tell you, the first hour or so of this hearing has been devastating to the Biden family and to what they've told the American people for years. Frankly, what they've lied to about for years is that, yes, Joe Biden did know full well what his brother and his son was doing. And they were shaking down these foreign companies that were backed by foreign governments in order to get money for the Biden family. That is what happened. And so now, as this whole hearing unfolds, you're going to be seeing more and more of that come out.
Critics of the Republican-led impeachment inquiry want to say that the GOP is looking for an off-ramp right now when it comes to these criminal referrals instead of filing articles of impeachment. What's your response there?
I have no response to that. What are we looking for an off-ramp for? We're doing our job investigating. You couple that with the fact, and I know this is not the purpose of this conversation, that Joe Biden is simply the master of disaster. He's been a terrible, terrible president. The American people know this. Polling demonstrates that. And then you layer on the fact that his family is corrupt and been taking money from adversaries for years. We're not trying to back away from anything. We are consistent with what we originally said at the beginning of this investigation. We are going to follow the evidence. If it leads to impeachment, then fine. And if it does not, then those are the facts as well. But it's important that the American people know the truth. We are bringing the truth. The Democrats are just bringing circus tactics, stunts, and chaos.
Florida Congressman Byron Donalds is a member of the House Oversight and Accountability Committee. Meanwhile, over at the Senate.
Actually, I did not write the brief. The brief was written by...
You signed the brief, though, didn't
correct.
You? Correct.
I signed the brief.
You sign a brief, you're testifying to the court that everything in it is true, right?
Yes. Okay. That, and I
so they're your words in terms of the court, right?
Well, you're correct, Senator Kennedy. Okay. I would never
tell me what you meant by assault weapons.
So I am not a gun expert.
Oh, my goodness. I will point out that Senator Kennedy is a lawyer. That man, Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, joins me now for a rare but awesome Newsmax interview. Senator, welcome to The Balance. Great to have you, sir. So, how about these lefties flooding the country with unvetted illegals at the same time putting a full court press on to take our Second Amendment rights away? Your thoughts?
Well, Eric, a couple of weeks ago, President Biden gave a State of the Union address. He could have saved his breath and not wasting the American people's time. The State of the Union can be seen very clearly at the grocery store and at the southern border. The southern border is an open, bleeding wound. President Biden has invited into our country, since he's been president, I think about 8.6 million people. That's four Nebraskas. And we do not have the slightest idea, not the slightest idea, who they are. Now, there are one or two things going on, Eric. You don't have to be an astrophysicist to figure this out. Either the person that President Biden has put in charge of the border is not qualified to manage a hamburger stand, or President Biden believes in open borders. I think it's the latter. Nobody's this incompetent. The Biden administration believes in open borders, and he thinks that vetting people at the border is racist. It's not racist. It's prudent. Mm-hmm. Every country in the world does it.
That's Louisiana Senator John Kennedy speaking with Eric Bolling. In case you need to be reminded, and if you're a new listener, this is my biggest peeve. The person that President Biden put in charge of the border, I remind you, is Vice President Kamala Harris, the border czar, who is never, never held responsible. Back to the issue at hand.
I watched that back and forth with you and that wannabe judge. First of all, did you torpedo her judgeship? Is that off the table, or is she actually get? I mean, for someone, you're a lawyer, for someone not a judge, not to understand, if you sign a document, doesn't matter who produced it, you're attesting to its validity and your own belief in it, right?
Well, she should, yes. And she should be torpedoed. That doesn't mean she will be. Most of my Democratic colleagues who are paying attention understand that some, you might even say many, of President Biden's appointees, they're not qualified to judge a pie contest. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to vote against them, because Senator Schumer has a tight control over the Democrats in the Senate. Mm-hmm. If Senator Schumer told his Democratic senators to join the Taliban, they'd say, where's the line, Chuck? We'll do whatever you say. But the lady that you're referencing is not qualified to be on the Court of Appeal. She has the worst record in her circuit for deciding cases in a timely manner. She's an ideologue first and a lawyer second. She actually testified today that when she was in private practice, she voluntarily filed a brief in court to get rid of assault weapons. But when I asked her what's an assault weapon, she said, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it takes your breath away.
It certainly does. Like the district judge in Illinois, did you hear about this? Who said banning illegal immigrants from owning firearms is unconstitutional. They're illegals. Illegal. It's in the title. All right, let's move on to the judge overseeing Donald Trump's Georgia election interference case. He cleared the way Wednesday for the former president and other defendants to appeal last week's ruling that allowed Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis to remain on the case. Judge Scott McAfee granted the request by Trump's defense team for permission to ask the Court of Appeals to review the decision. It will now be up to the appeals court to decide whether to hear Trump's argument or not. Attorney Ashley Merchant, who represents one of the other defendants, is the one who exposed the sexual relationship between Fonnie and the now former special prosecutor Nathan Magic Mike Wade, and she spoke with Greta Van Susteren.
Ashley Merchant, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Earlier today, the news broke that the Fulton County judge, Scott McAfee, has certified the issue about disqualification of Fonnie Willis to the Georgia Court of Appeals. Does that automatically mean that the Georgia Court of Appeals will hear it?
No, it doesn't. So how it works in Georgia is this is what's called an interim appeal. So it's kind of a pretrial appeal. So once he certifies it, now it's got to go to the Court of Appeals and they will decide whether or not they're actually going to hear it on what's called the merits. So we've got 10 days to file our petition to them, to the Court of Appeals, and then they've got basically however much time they want to decide whether or not they want to actually hear the appeal.
Right. Now, I noticed in the order it said, though, that things will proceed anyway. The trial court says that this isn't going to slow down, at least that aspect of it, the trial moving forward, depending on what the Court of Appeals decides.
Right. And, you know, where we're at is we've already litigated a lot of motions and we're waiting on rulings from the judge. So what that signaled to me was he's going to keep working. He's going to get us orders and while we're waiting on the Court of Appeals. But I don't think that the Court of Appeals will really take a super long time in this case, given all the issues. So I think we'll get probably a pretty quick ruling from them. But he's going to keep working while we're waiting on that.
What would you consider quick? Because, you know, my first inclination would have been, and you know I'm a former criminal defense lawyer, is to file a motion to stay. Because, I mean, I don't know how long your Court of Appeals is likely to work, but if this drags on 6 months, there's a lot of work that's done. And even in terms of the prosecution, they're doing a lot of work if it's still moving forward and ultimately they get bumped from the case.
Right. Well, you know, once they actually take the case, so once the Court of Appeals says we're going to take it, it's about 6 months, that process. But my reading of the order is once that happens, if they say, yes, we're going to hear it, at that point, the judge will no longer be considering it anymore. So Judge McAfee will be off the case at that point, and it would be in the Court of Appeals. So that sort of operates as a stay without us having to actually file for one.
I fought with judges my whole life, even been thrown out of a courtroom or two with the judges. But I thought
Good
Judge McAfee was an extremely thoughtful judge, even though I disagree with his opinion, because the way I looked at it, it's like if you had an inside job with bank tellers and they're both stealing money from the bank, is that it doesn't cure it by getting rid of one of the bank tellers if the other one's still there. That's the way I look at it. But he said his says you get rid of one bank teller and you're fine.
Right. I completely agree with you, Greta. I think that, it's all or nothing. And so that's why it kind of surprised me that he split the baby, so to say, you know, his Solomon-esque opinion, because I thought it was all or nothing. I thought either everyone would go or nobody would go. So it was surprising that just Mr. Wade went, because I still think that there's a conflict, you know, and that goes over into everyone else and into all of the other prosecutors on this case. But we'll see what the Court of Appeals says.
That's attorney Ashley Merchant and former Trump attorney and chief counsel at the ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, spoke with American Agenda about Trump's New York fraud trial and that nearly $500 million fine.
I want to ask you this, Jordan, before we go. We know that President Trump has to secure a $464 million bond by Monday, or else New York's Attorney General Letitia James can start seizing his assets. And that doesn't just include assets within New York City. She can seize Mar-a-Lago if she wants to. So your thoughts about whether this bond is just way too high? Does it deny him due process? Does it go against the Eighth Amendment, which simply says excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted?
Listen, it looks like it's going to be very difficult for President Trump to put together this amount of money or get one of the bond companies. So far, they've all denied it to do this. Now, I'm sure he'll be working on it to the last minute possible, which is on Monday, to get that secured, because it would sure make that appeal that you're talking about easier. But he could still, even if he isn't able to get that money together, he is still able to make the appeal, even while she may start seizing some assets. He can still make the appeal that this is, again, that this fine goes beyond the normal fines in the financial world. And it actually violates the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution, that this is cruel and unusual financial punishment. And there is a financial crimes mentioned and punishment mentioned in the Eighth Amendment. But again, we have to remind ourselves, unlike Georgia, where he is going to be making the appeals here is in the state of New York, which is, again, going to be unfriendly court after unfriendly court. You would hope you just find some reasonable court that would say, you know what, if we do this, we're going to drive out so many businesses in New York that you got to get past Donald Trump and think a lot of companies are going to say it's too dangerous for us to have our assets here. We need to move out of New York and New York City, because that's going to be the larger effect if this actually stays in place. But we know with Trump derangement syndrome, it's tough for any of these judges, prosecutors to look forward to the actual future of what this might do to the city and state of New York.
Again, that's Attorney Jay Sekulo, Chief Counsel at the American Center for Law and Justice on American Agenda with Katrina Zisch and Bob Brooks. Back on Capitol Hill, congressional leaders are still working to convince their respective party members to pass a $1.2 trillion spending package before funding expires at midnight Friday for a host of government agencies and before many of them even got to see it and read it. As of yesterday afternoon, the full text of the legislation hadn't even been released. $1.2 trillion. Yeah, let's go and sign off on that. Most lawmakers and their aides are reading it today, right now. On Wall Street, stocks opened in the green after rallying to record highs on all three indices Wednesday after the Fed said it's holding interest rates steady for now, but it's still planning on three rate cuts this year. That was the big verbiage. Still planning on three rate cuts this year. Thank you for not saying anything negative, Jerome. The price of gold rose above $2,200 for the first time as well. I know a lot of you are paying attention to or are invested in gold. Social media platform Reddit had its IPO yesterday, $34 a share, giving the company a much-needed financial boost. They've pretty much lost money every year since they've been in business, and they are now valued at $6.4 billion. What a great country. Keep up with all the news all day right here on Newsmax, available on most major cable systems and at Newsmax.com as well. If you don't already have Newsmax Plus, go to NewsmaxPlus.com and get signed up. You can get a free trial. It includes all of your favorite shows and hosts, like The Balance with Eric Bolling, Greg Kelly Reports, Rob Schmidt Tonight, Greta Van Susteren, Carl Higbee, Bianca De La Garza, and more, with analysis from people like Governor Mike Huckabee, KT McFarland, Carrie Lake, Alan Dershowitz, and others. I'm Tony Marino. Thank you for checking out the Newsmax Daily. Hopefully we'll see you right back here tomorrow, as in daily. Enjoy the rest of your day and keep on fighting the good fight.
News breaks every minute, every day. You need the app, the Newsmax app. Find it free on your smartphone store. Then watch us anytime, anywhere.